What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and I also write for Sports Al Dente, an all LA sports website where I cover the Chargers as well. We've been doing our own Facebook Live show for four seasons now called Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season on Facebook Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Well, guys, on today's show, we are going to get back into position groups, but then the Madden ratings came out, and then came the players' reactions to the Madden ratings, and we just had to talk about it because Keenan Allen's reaction was absolutely priceless. Derwin James had a very valid argument on his as well. Not as funny, but I definitely think Derwin James made some good points as well. And there's just a bunch of guys on this list that we're going to have major problems with the ratings that they have. So we're going to start with that. And in the last two segments, if you guys didn't get to hear it, we're going to be airing David Drogemeyer's appearance on the Locked On NFL podcast because they only talked Chargers. So I'm going to do a sort of best of David's interview with Matt Williamson talking Melvin Gordon and the rest of the Chargers news. So we'll have the best of that in the second two segments to wrap up the show today. And we'll get into another position group on the next show as we head into training camp, and we'll continue the position breakdown series there. But guys, let's go ahead and get started. Madden 20 player ratings are out, and some of the Chargers had big issues with it. I mean, I think we have to start with Keenan Allen just because he had the best reaction and basically narrated his own reaction during his reaction. But, I mean, let's just let him say in his own words, guys. Here's Keenan Allen on the Chargers social media going off and telling you why he will not be playing Madden 20, period.
And I just want to start this video off by saying I will not be playing Madden 20, period. All right, number one, my overall is an 89, for sure. My short route running is a 91, 60. My medium route running is an 88. What? Like, my deep route running is a 75. Like, bro, who's making this dog? What? Who did this? Speed's at 87. Like, bro, ain't nobody just running with me step for step like that, bro. Like, come on, dog. It's not that sweet out there, man. Like, what is you thinking? My strength is 69, like I'm a little boy. I'm just not understanding something. I'm not understanding. I'm an 89 on the game, Pro Bowl back-to-back, 1,000. I don't understand. What's up? Talk to me.
All right, guys. Well, Keenan Allen said it. I mean, he said it, and he really said it. I love the sipping tea. I love everything he really had to say. I mean, there's a couple things on there, David, that I think Madden probably did closer to correct than Keenan Allen thinks they did, but I think he has an absolute gripe with his overall rating and, like his short route running, his medium route running. I mean, he's one of the best receivers in the league getting off the line of scrimmage and catching quick passes. So I think he definitely has some gripe there.
Yeah, I mean, for route running on Keenan Allen, I think there's no score below a 90 on short and medium routes is acceptable for me. I mean, he is one of the best get-offs, one of the quickest feet, one of the most precise and crisp route running in the NFL. Keenan Allen needs that recognition. He deserves it. He's earned it. Now, the deep routes, I mean, I can see why, you know, he was rated a little bit lower there. I mean, it's maybe not his best, but I'm talking about the inside and the middle. I mean, come on. He's almost unstoppable.
The route running, yeah, a 91 on short route running is not anywhere near high enough. He should be at least a 95, probably close to that with his medium route running as well. I mean, my other favorite part is like, you have my strength at 69, like I'm some little boy. That gets me every single time I've watched it. I've watched it probably 15 times already. But
Keenan, strength on 69, like I'm a little boy.
Like I'm a little boy. sipping the tea. But yeah, just, I mean, classic reaction from Keenan Allen and a guy who, I mean, as of this year, guys, absolutely made himself a superstar of sorts just with his comments. I mean, the Le'Veon Bell diss on the rap, everything else in between, you know, saying he's the best receiver in the league in his mind. I mean, he's out there talking. He's going to have a lot to back up, but I am absolutely here for Keenan Allen running his mouth, especially against Madden, who, I mean, we know those systems are flawed, but I definitely don't think they did him much justice with his ratings in this game. I think he's at least a 90 overall. I think it's disrespectful to have him under that. But there is another guy who sounded off on Madden 20 about his rating, and that's Derwin James. So let's see why Derwin James had a big issue with his Madden rating this year.
What's good, everybody? This is your boy, Derwin James. I'm here today to talk about my Madden rating. Last year, I finished at 87. Somehow this year, I'm at 86. I'm a little disappointed. I don't know what I did between the end of last season to this summer. I guess I ain't working hard enough. But, you know, just looking at some of these stats, my tackling is 77. Like, that's horrible. Like, I don't miss that many tackles, Madden. Like, we got to talk about that one. My strength, 77. Like, I'm like one of the strongest DBs in the league. Like, come on, man. Zone coverage, 81. That should be way higher. Man to man, 83. That should be way higher. But somehow, you know, my rating went down. Like I say, but can't wait to come out this year and, you know, get my Madden rating right. Now tune in, though.
I mean, Derwin James, having him in the 70s in tackling is absolutely ridiculous. He definitely is one of the strongest DBs in the league. But these metrics seems like they're grading, I mean, receiver strength against offensive lineman strength for some of these. So I don't really know how that matches up. But there's no way, John, that Derwin James should end last season as an 87 and come into this season as an 86.
It's like we did on that one show when I was talking about how they start the year with a rating and they end up all mostly finishing higher. Right. I should probably go look at what their rating was the next season after what they finished. I mean, the fact that they're giving him a lower rating. I've seen this before on other matters, too, that never made sense, where, like, Rivers would have a really bad year back in, like, 2015 and 16, and then the next year it's somehow, like, okay, how is Rivers going from being an 87 and now you put him at a 92? It's like, he had a really bad year. Like, what does that rating make sense here? I don't understand how they do this math here, but he got better as the season went on and somehow got worse during the offseason, is Madden's words here. And the tackling they gave him, are you kidding me? This is one of the best tacklers on the team, and you gave him that kind of tackle rating. You got, and the strength. The strength on here is a 77. They gave Desmond King a 72. Desmond King's not even that strong of a guy. He's just really good at coverage. And he has almost the same strength number on here, according to Madden. It makes no sense to me.
It doesn't, but at the same time, there was a guy on here that made a lot of sense, and I was happy to see, and that was Philip Rivers, David, at the top of the list for the Chargers. He had the highest overall grade. And then Melvin Gordon came in second with a 92. I was a little surprised to see Melvin Gordon second, out of the entire team. But, David, at the same time, it was nice to see Philip Rivers at 94 and the third highest rated quarterback outside of Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes in this game.
Yeah, no, that's super high praise for Philip Rivers. One of the things I always got to point out for Philip and they recognized on the game was toughness. And toughness was a 99.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. If you play a game after having surgery for a torn ACL, you are a monster. And your toughness will never be questioned ever again.
But why is his speed so low? It's only a 65. Did you not see that run against the Ravens?
Oh, my God.
I think gave him a 65?
A 65. I think that's too much credit, if we're being honest. I mean, a 65 for Philip Rivers, I don't know. But there are some other, you know, questionable things on the list that I put on here. Four guys being tied for the fastest guy on the team: Melvin Gordon, Michael Davis, Austin Eckler, and Travis Benjamin. It's hard for me to believe all of those guys are the exact same speed. And then here's when things start to get really tricky. You have Russell Okung and Virgil Green both at 76. That's, I mean, putting them on the same level is hard for me to believe. You have Jatavis Brown at a 75 overall, while the starter, Denzel Perryman, comes in at a 74 overall. I don't know, guys. I don't know how that happens. Then some other ones are Trent Scott being the lowest on the team with a 52. You know, the guy that had the puff piece, and we said, be careful taking that too seriously. The only guy rated lower than Trent Scott is Mike Wint, but they're not rating him as a long snapper. They're rating him as a tight end. So Mike went at a position that he doesn't play, is only 5 points behind Trent Scott. I mean, I'm not a huge Trent Scott guy, but I mean, that's just crazy. And then, John, you have Sam Tevy coming in at a 60, and Trey Pipkins out of Division II Sioux Falls comes in at a 62. And then the last thing I'll say is Michael Badgley, 71.
You mentioned Badgley getting a 71 overall, but his kicking power on here is a 96. So
that makes no sense.
The overall for a kicker, if you have a good kicking power and a decent kicking accuracy, should automatically put you higher than a 71. Because if you don't have speed, accuracy, agility, who cares? You know, yeah. It's not what goes into your rating. It never makes sense to me. I've seen so many mixed up ratings since they switched the whole kicker thing. I think like 5 years ago, it used to just only be accuracy, kickoff, and that kind of stuff. And you'd get like a 90 easily.
Well, he doesn't have a good kickoff grade for sure, but he's more accurate than he has a powerful leg.
He has to be, but 71 blows my mind. So, and then I'm going to use this as like your base setting. Dan Feeney is a 66. Yeah. Knowing that Isaac Rochelle and Damian Square are both only 1 point above him.
Yep.
As well as Kazir White is only 3 points above him. Guys below him would be guys that terrible. We think are going to be good, like Bronson and Scott Quisenberry, who there's no way he should be below Dan Feeney. I don't know. I don't care what you say about him being a backup. There's no way he's worse. Sam Tevy is a 60. I think Tevy's better than Feeney. You know, Tevy is sure as hell ain't great, but I think he's at least better.
And I think there's a conversation there for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. I mean, I don't think anyone, you know, they said four or five guys have the same speed as Travis Benjamin? No. I mean, Travis Benjamin has his faults and his flaws, but he is definitely the fastest guy on the team. I don't think it's even close, to be quite honest. And to have Russell Okung a 76 is absolutely downright disrespectful. I think he's a lot better than that. He's actually been very good for the Chargers. And the one I want to highlight before we move on is Mike Williams, an 81. I think that's way off. I think Mike Williams had a huge year last year, made a giant leap in his second year in the league, and I think his grade should reflect that. So 81 is way too low for me.
Yeah, I think Mike Williams is a guy who, like we said, these grades constantly update. I think Mike Williams is a guy that's going to get much higher during the season, but I mean, I understand, at least from Madden's perspective, I obviously they're not out seeing every single game if you have Jatavis Brown above Denzel Perryman, but at the same time, they couldn't really get a feel for that because he didn't have like the total yards and stuff like that that were eye popping. I mean, he had the touchdowns, a big number of touchdowns, you know, over 11 touchdowns total. So I mean, he definitely had a great season, but when you look at, you know, less than 800 yards receiving, less than 50 catches, those are the things that scare you a little bit with Mike Williams. And I think we'll see those increase this year and have that grade increase.
Well, what about this, though? I mean, I can understand why they gave him an 81, but they gave Travis Benjamin a 79.
That was my bigger problem, yeah.
You're telling me Travis Benjamin is that close to Mike Williams? I mean, I think the only thing on here I will absolutely agree with is that they gave Travis Benjamin a 38 strength. I think that's the only accurate thing they have on here.
I guess that, I mean, Keenan Allen shouldn't really feel like a little boy then in that case. I mean, Travis Benjamin's obviously the little boy, but this is going to wrap things up for the Madden Rays, guys. Spend way too much time talking video games on this show, but I am excited to have you guys listen to Matt Williamson and David Drogemeyer going over all things Chargers, especially the Melvin Gordon situation and where that stands right now, coming up right after this. But, guys, first, before I get into that, right now, your bedroom rating somewhere around a 69. And I know there's only 499 players in Madden 20, but you can get that 99 grade in the bedroom with BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable tablet with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. The best part about BlueChew, guys, is there's no awkwardness. You don't have to meet a doctor in person. You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy. And it's all shipped discreetly to your house. It's time to step your game up, guys, and you can do it with Blue Chew. And right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. If you visit BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 in shipping. You get that product for free. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice.
Well, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. How is everyone this wonderful Monday? We're kicking off the week with a great guest, very topical, David Drogemeyer from Locked On Chargers. David's been on before. We had a good chat then, but now there's much to discuss. How are you, man?
I am doing very well, and yeah, normally this is the dead period for us, so we're always scratching and clawing for content, but Melvin Gordon and his contract situation has given us a nice little gift, if you will.
right. I mean, let's talk to the Chargers guys. There's no one else to really, drum up this kind of conversation. And it kind of, I want to get your thoughts first. I got a couple questions laid out for you. First of all, let's start this conversation with, give me your thumbnail of who Melvin Gordon is as a player right now.
That's a really good question. I mean, as far as the type of player that he is or the contract he's looking for, what do you mean?
No, not even the contract. Like his value to the team, where he is in his career, how much you trust him from a health perspective. He certainly seems to be an improving receiver year after year. Where would you rank him in terms of the top backs in the league, give or take? Those types of things.
Yeah.
Just tell me what you think of the guy.
Yeah, no, hey, Melvin Gordon, the player, I think if you look at his stats, obviously his rookie year, he had a tough start. He didn't score any touchdowns, and the yards were nice, but I mean, in this league, you got to score, and if you don't score, then, there's going to be a major problem there. But he's bounced back nicely, and, he's scored 38 touchdowns in the last 3 years, and so he has definitely become a very productive back. But the best thing about Melvin Gordon is that he's improved his game every single year that he's been in the league.
I agree.
He's gotten to be a better runner. He's gotten to be a more physical runner. He's protected the football better. He's been a better receiver. So Melvin Gordon, the football player, the running back, he's a catalyst for the Chargers offense. I feel like when he's in there and he's rolling, the Chargers offense is at its best. I believe Melvin Gordon's a top 10 running back in the league. I mean, some could argue that he's a top 5 running back in the league. And, right now, he wants to get paid as a top 5 running back in the league. And, in this situation, with the 5th-year option, him sitting out, he thinks he has a lot of leverage, but honestly, he really doesn't.
He doesn't. Let's not delve right into that. I didn't want to get that far along, but I really feel like the more I've thought about this and preparing for this podcast, Melvin Gordon's in a bind. I mean, he's had a lot of carries. He's getting to that stage where the collective bargaining agreement's not real favorable for running backs because now he's approaching where the decline usually happens. The Chargers certainly could run him into the ground this year, franchise him again, send him on his way. And it reminds me a lot of the Lev Bell situation, but Gordon doesn't have quite as much leverage in that Bell used to say, for better or worse, hey, I'm your number 2 receiver and I'm your number 1 running back, pay me accordingly. And that was his stance, and, he didn't get it. But Gordon obviously is instrumental, but he's in a bind. I mean, the Chargers hold the cards here.
Yeah, and the reason why the Chargers hold the cards is because Melvin Gordon can sit out till Week 10, but if he doesn't play after Week 10, guess what? His 5th-year option just continues on to next year. So he can't exactly really go anywhere. I mean, he can demand a trade, but guess what? The Chargers don't have to trade him. They don't have to do anything if they don't want to. So Melvin Gordon saying he's going to sit out and miss, spring or training camp and games. I mean, that's the only one losing money is himself.
Right. And prime years, and I know Bell did it. Is that going to be the trend going forward for these running backs? I don't think that's a smart move. Maybe it pays off for Bell. I bet it doesn't. In the meantime, my take on him as a player is, he is one of the true franchise backs, bell cow backs, use whatever terms you want. Wisconsin didn't throw him the ball a lot, and I was critical of him as a receiver early in his career, but I think he's improved upon that. I think he's a better runner year after year. I really do think he's in his prime.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely in his prime. And the thing is, you know, we talked to Fernando Ramirez, who's a insider for NBC in San Diego, who goes to a lot of the practices, a lot of the games. And he's in the clubhouse, in the locker room with these guys.
Okay.
And he says that, you know, Melvin Gordon's a really team guy, team friendly, loves his team, always trying to keep things live, keep things upbeat in the locker room, and says that he doesn't believe that Melvin Gordon's the type of guy that wants to sit out games. But Melvin Gordon said, I think it was at SportsCon in Dallas, that, you know, hey, I'm prepared to do what I have to do to get paid like I feel like I should get paid. And, you know, we're obviously having a great debate about this on Locked On Chargers, but, you know, a couple of guys, you know, John says, hey, we don't want the trouble. Let's trade him. Let's try to get an offensive lineman for him, or try to get a pick out of him. Daniel says, you know, I want to pay him, but I don't want to pay him $15 million a year type money. And I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. I mean, I think I'd like to keep Melvin Gordon on the Chargers, but, you know, not for $14-15 million a year. I think my sweet spot is probably 10 to 13 max, and I really don't want to go anything over that.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting debate of and not just him, and Bell comes to mind, and the Rams did this early with Gurley. Was that the smart move? You know, now you're seeing knee problems with him, and they're on the hook for a lot. I want to talk about that in a minute. You know, what's the best move and how you think this will play out? I also want to talk about Austin Eckler a little bit, because I do think he's a pretty good backup, that so you could live with him. But hey, the Chargers are in this Rivers window, which again reminds me of the Steelers with Roethlisberger. Hey, is it do you overpay now and to win later? I mean, I think there's a lot of angles to discuss. All right, David, we are back. So you're the GM, and I'm Melvin Gordon's agent. How would you approach this? I mean, we finished last segment saying that this is a sticky situation. I think we both agree you don't want him to leave, but he doesn't need to be the highest paid running back in the league either.
Jumping back to the last segment when we talked about Todd Gurley, I mean, Todd Gurley had a microfracture knee surgery, and guess what? Melvin Gordon did as well. So
yeah, right.
there's some parallels along there. But, you know, looking at stats, I mean, he wants to get paid like Gurley, but he doesn't have the stats that Gurley has. So, you know, I mean, as the GM, I would definitely come at it from that situation to try to tell Melvin Gordon and fit him where his value is, where, you know, other running backs along the same lines of he is are getting paid, like, you know, Devonta Freeman getting $8 million per year. I think Melvin should get a little bit more than that. I think he's a better back than Devonta Freeman is. But that's where I'm saying, you know, hey, Melvin, you've had injury issues. You haven't been able to complete a 16-game season, you know, in the 4 years that you've been in the league. So it's either, hey, let's get something done now that works well for both of us, or go out this year, prove to me that you can play 16 games and be healthy for the playoffs, and then let's give you the big payday that you earned after you show me that you can stay healthy. Because, hey, running back is the most physically demanding position in the NFL. These guys get beat up, Matt. They take a beating. And the shelf life for NFL players is already short. The shelf life for running backs is even shorter because of that. So that's kind of where I'm at with the Melvin Gordon contract situation is, hey, you want to get paid now? All right, let's get something that'll work for both of us. If not, go out there and prove to me that you can stay healthy and get the big payday that you're actually looking for.
All right, hypothetical. He never made a fuss. Everyone's roses and happy and, you know, rainbows and butterflies. Or tomorrow he says, no hard feelings, I'm coming to camp, don't sweat it. Do you think the Chargers, assuming he has a year like he has the past couple, maybe he misses a game or two, but is still a really good foundation player, do you think they would absolutely franchise him?
That's the question.
Yeah, it's a tough
very
one.
Interesting because there's a lot of guys that are coming up that the Chargers are going to have to pay. After this year, Phillip Rivers is going to need a new contract, and then they're going to have to start thinking about Joey Bosa and Desmond King, and there's several other key young players that need to get locked up. And the fact of the matter, Matt, is that, you know, the NFL just does not value running backs like that. They feel like that you can get that value and replace it really quickly. I mean, you know, you're a Pittsburgh guy. They did well,
right?
Out, and guess what? James Conner came right in, and they didn't really miss too much of a beat. So that's kind of the argument against paying Melvin Gordon is, hey, you can get value anywhere. I mean, Alvin Kamara's a third-round pick, and he's one of the best running backs in the league. So You can find replacements everywhere. But the type of running back that Melvin Gordon is, it's hard to get that, you know, a guy that really has a pretty complete game as a running back. So that's why it's really difficult. But if, you know, he came in, no harm, no foul, and, you know, he balls out, then, you know, that's where he's going to get. I mean, I think if he does something similar to last year, you know, 10-plus touchdowns, then, yeah, he probably will get paid. And there probably won't be too much complaint from the Chargers about it.
Right, right. And he may win, help you win a Super Bowl. I mean, then it's all worth it. And maybe it wasn't the best money spent, but you only have Rivers, you know, in a very limited amount at this point, and it's a extremely talented roster. The more I think about it, the more I lean towards call him up and offer him a contract now. You know, he might take it, you know, because it's a nice bump. I know he was a first round pick, but he doesn't have gobs and gobs of money in the bank like a Rivers or somebody like that, because he's still young on a rookie deal. If you could get him on a 3-year deal, tear up what he has now, I don't think that's so terrible. And maybe you overspend a little, but it might really pay off in the win column. Pro Football Focus is putting out a series doing every team, and I dug up the Chargers, and there's a couple stats I stole from them that I want to read to you and just get your impressions of. Is Mike Williams, who I like, he scored 10 touchdowns on 64 targets last year. Pretty crazy. That was 15.6 scoring rate. Best in the league, and only Tyler Lockett, who was at 13%, but it was the only other one over 13% if you had at least 50 targets. So what they're saying is that's probably not going to keep up. He's not going to score touchdowns at close to 16% of his catches, but he only had 64 targets. So the argument is Williams isn't here. Does Williams' target numbers double, perhaps?
His targets are going to jump up. So those opportunities are going to continue to increase. Now, do I see him scoring a touchdown that often this season? Probably not. But, you know, the beautiful thing about Mike Williams is he turned himself into a great red zone target. And also, you know, just a big catch guy. I mean, the touchdown late in Kansas City and the 2-point conversion. I mean, those are big, humongous plays in the game that impact your season. And so if Mike Williams continues to make those, you know, hey, this guy's huge. He's 6'4", can jump out of the building, has great strong hands. And that showed last year as he was able to get in the end zone 10 times. Also added a rushing touchdown as well. He's a dynamic young player. And to see his growth from his rookie year to this to last year was phenomenal. And I hope to see another substantial leap with more targets this season.
Yeah, and I think we should. I mean, this is a top 10 pick. This is an immense talent that was just part of a crowded group of receivers last year. I don't think anybody blames him for, boy, he's not good enough to get targets or anything like that. And I want to mention Henry to wrap up the show, too. I really like his overall game. I think he's an absolute breakout candidate. And I caught this from that article on PFF, too, is, and I guess it makes sense with Gates around, Henry's never even been in the top 20 in tight end targets in his career. I mean, not that he's been around long, but, I mean, never has 20 more tight ends have got more targets than him every year he's been in the league. I mean, that's crazy what he could become.
Yeah, well, and I think this year he's going to be the guy. Henry is going to be that number one tight end. He's going to get his opportunity to go earn his money because he's coming up on a contract here soon too, so... And he hasn't really been given the opportunity to be the guy, to be the number one tight end. Hunter Henry is a tremendous talent. He runs crisp, clean routes. He has phenomenal hands. And not only is he a great receiver, but he's a phenomenal blocker as well. So you can't key in on, hey, Henry's in the game. They're automatically going to throw the ball. Because he's just as good of a blocker as he is a pass catcher.
They were so successful. I mean, it worked, and the Chargers had a really good year. But we talked about how there's just not a lot, there's a lot of mouths to feed. Well, the Chargers ran just under 60 offensive plays per game last year. And for you that aren't, you know, on top of these numbers, there was only the Titans, Bengals, Cardinals, and Dolphins who ran fewer per game. You know, they played slow, and it wasn't because they were bad. They just chose to do so. My hunch, David, is that has to come back to the mean. I mean, Rivers certainly can play fast, that there probably will be more offensive snaps per game, which means, you know, a target here and there more to Henry or Williams or whomever, of course.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of that had to do, if you look back at the games they played last year, a lot of the times Phillip Rivers was taking the play clock down to 3 or 2 or right. even 1 second left, you know, because he likes to sit up, get up there, diagnose the defense and get the team in the right play. And I think a lot of the times that he needs to not do that. He needs to trust the play and get the ball moving, because I think that really had an effect on the pace of the game for them. And I think if they brought it up a little more up-tempo and started moving the ball a little bit quicker, that they would have a little more success, a lot like the Rams did last year. I mean, the Rams, when they got into that mode, man, they were just moving. And they would move up and down the field and cut through you like a knife through butter. And so I'd like to see a little bit more of that with the Chargers offense this year, and not, you know, so much of Phillip Rivers trying to do everything himself. Trust the coaches a little bit. I mean, you got 3 head coaches on that Chargers coaching staff, so let them do their job.
Yeah, and Rivers is obviously quick-minded and experienced enough to run more no huddle and hurry up and use tempo a little bit more. And frankly, it just gives your great players more opportunity to make great plays. Hey, everyone, the Locked On Chargers podcast is great as well. Where else can they find you, man? This was fun. Let's talk again before the season.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Matt. I always appreciate you reaching out to us. We love to talk football with you, so we definitely appreciate it. Check out our Facebook page, Locked On Chargers. We post our shows there every single day. Of course, you can catch us on Twitter at Locked On LAC. You can find me on Twitter at Deidro619. And, you know, my co-host is at Dan Talk Sports. That's for Daniel Wade. And John Kegley is Biggest Charger FN. But you want to just type in John Kegley. It'll be easier to find him. But, definitely appreciate you having us on. And, yeah, definitely if things, you know, if something happens between now and training camp or, you know, the regular season or throughout the season, we definitely want to talk to you about it. So thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap things up for today's show. A special shout out to Matt Williamson for doing that show with David. We got a lot of good insight there. And if you want to hear the whole uncut version, make sure you go subscribe to the Locked On NFL podcast, where Matt Williamson covers every team in the league and talks to all the separate hosts throughout the league as well to get his insight. Make sure to go follow Matt Williamson at Williamson NFL on Twitter and to subscribe to the Locked On NFL, as well as subscribing to the Locked On Chargers podcast on TuneIn, Google Podcast, Himalayan podcasting app, wherever you get your podcast from, so you can get the show before everyone else does. We'll be back with you guys later on in the week. If you want to get your voice coming up on... If you want to get your voice on the upcoming voicemail show, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. But we'll be back with you guys later on in the week. Make sure to get your calls and make sure to get your questions in, and they will all be answered coming up soon. But until then, guys, take it easy and go Bolts.